thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Jose Rodriguez. I'm normally over in Port Jervis leading our congregation there, and it's been a pleasure to be with you these past few weeks. We will continue our journey through the Psalms. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, starting at verse 1. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. His hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. And I do pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our hearts would be open. Lord, would you draw us closer to you? Ultimately, may each and every life be transformed through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase that the events that you are going to witness or see have been based on some truth? Right, and as I was putting together this message for you, there was a story that was connected to Psalm 91. But the more I looked into the story, I discovered that probably 95% of it seems to be untrue. It's fiction. However, it's a story that when people tend to look at Psalm 91, it's a story that people tend to tell, right? And you'll see why this story is connected to Psalm 91. It's a story about a mother bird protecting her chicks. There was a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park. Hundreds of acres were destroyed. And once they got the fire under control, the rangers started to survey the damage. And as one of the rangers started to climb and ascend one of the hills, he came upon this scorched trunk of a tree. And at the base of the tree, what he saw was the outline of a fully scorched mother bird on the base of the tree. It appalled him. He took a stick, and as he moved the dead bird over, what he discovered was three little chicks still alive that the mother had protected. They say that she took each one of these chicks from their nest and flew each one of them down to the base of the tree, ultimately sitting and covering them with her body and wings, ultimately sacrificing herself and not flying away. Again, it's a story that no matter how many places I look to verify whether it was true or not, I have more information that it wasn't true. However, it is a story that paints a picture of God's protection. And that's the key of this psalm. It's a psalm that conveys the protection that's available to God's believing children if we were to seek his covering. When you read Psalm 91, you see that there's no author ascribed to it. And the ancient rabbis would say that whenever there's not an author, you would ascribe the author that was on the psalm previous, and that would be Moses. And as you read Psalm 90, you can see some of the likeness in reference to Psalm 91. However, you can also find some traces of King David in this psalm. But this is a psalm that conveys God's protection. But his protection is available only if we pursue it. It isn't something that's just automatically given to you and to me. So the psalm is broken up into three parts, verses 1 through 2. This is the psalmist talking about his experience as he sought God. Verses 3 through 13 reflect what an individual can go through as long as we are trusting in God, the very things that God will get us through in life. And then verses 14 through 16 is God speaking to each and every one of us. God speaking to the psalmist. Right, so let us give our attention to God's word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Some translations would say the secret place, right? The psalmist is saying that this secret place is available to him. This secret place is available to all who would pursue and seek God. This secret place is available if we're willing to look for it. Here's the sad part. There are many believers who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. However, they choose not to dwell in the presence of God. For one reason or another, and I believe that the reason why many believers choose not to dwell in the presence of God is because the closer we get to God, the more of your sin you got to deal with. Because there's no way that you and I as sinners would get close to a holy God where God's not going to expose your sin, my sin. But it's to find that that is the most perfect place for you and for me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In order for the shadow of God to shine upon you, you got to be close to Him. You got to be willing to be near to Him. You have to be willing to draw yourself. Notice that it's not saying that He will pull you to Himself. You have to draw to Him, so that His shadow would be cast upon you. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Who do you trust today? Do you trust God? Or do you want to trust God? Ask yourself, when your portfolio took a dive and financially you started losing money, and let's say you were close to retirement, who were you trusting at that moment? When all of a sudden you saw your money just vaporizing in front of you. Who are you trusting that when you exercise day in and day out and you eat the right diet, and all of a sudden you find that you're not well, and the doctor says, I need to talk to you tomorrow. And all of a sudden, he says to you, we found something. Who are you trusting? Who do you put your trust, your life in? And my hope that it would be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you put your trust and faith in His finished work, then the question is, what is stopping you from getting closer to Him? What is stopping you from spending more time in His Word? What is stopping you from praying and seeking His will in your life? My God, in whom I trust. All throughout Scripture, you have different places where that phrase is said. You have it with Ruth as she's returning back from Moab with Naomi. And Naomi is trying to just tell her, go back to your family. And she says, your God is going to be my God. And she leaves everything behind. But probably the most striking place is in John 20, verse 28, where Thomas is standing before the resurrected Jesus, right? And he was doubting. He was saying prior to that, only unless I put my hand in His wound will I believe. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And as a result, Thomas would say, my Lord and my God. Right? It's who do you put your trust in? And here's the thing about these two verses, right? The psalmist would use four different names to encapsulate who God is. He is the Most High. In other words, there is nobody above Him. He's it. He's the pinnacle. Elohim. He is the one who's above it all. He is the one who is creator. He is the one who wants to have a relationship with you and me. almighty. He has all power, all authority, all strength. El Shaddai. He is our God. Lord, and it's capital Lord, which references Yahweh. And when you and I think and see Lord, and it's all caps, here's what you need to remember. He's the God that's going to keep his covenant promises. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one that, regardless of what the Israelites have done, he has kept his promise. And lastly, my God, Elohe. There is no other. There is nobody that can come close to him. As a matter of fact, right, there is no other God. Right? According to Scripture, if God is the creator, here's what God is not going to create: another God to worship. However, there are demonic beings that sometimes we do worship. Stop. Who do you put your trust in? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide, right? To abide is to go along with, to be with. Years ago, when I was growing up in the city, we used to hang out in the street corner, right? And back then, we used to have police officers that used to patrol the streets, right? And as he would come around the corner, here's what we would hear from the police officers: keep moving, stop loitering, right? But when we abide with God, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to loiter with him, to hang out, to be with. So that the very thing that he can provide, I would have access to. My refuge, my fortress. And those things are available to me and you if I trust. And now we move into how this relationship with God and the shelter that he provides, how does that help me to live the life he wants me and you to live? For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Right, so we use these terms in reference to fowler and pestilence to describe the things that are always after you. A fowler is somebody who tries to trap birds. He will use net camouflage. He would use decoys, trying to lure you in. It is the same thing that sin does in your life and in my life. It lures us in. It's the very thing that Satan would use in your life and in my life to lure us away from the very protection that's available to us. But a lot of times, we're trying to handle it on our own. I got it. I'll take care of it, Lord. And from the deadly pestilence, three times we'll hear about pestilence, and it reminds us of that season when you and I went through COVID-19, right? It was horrible, right? I remember the day when the session and the pastors made a decision to not hold services. Almost in 300 years, we met and had services, and as a result of COVID-19, the church was shut. The only way to experience a worship service is to watch it recorded. I remember that first time when we had a gathering and it was out in the parking lot. right? And we were all excited to be together. Remember when you used to say amen and you had to honk the horn? Right? But it was a horrible time. Members of the church were split. We should meet. We should not meet. We shouldn't worry about what the government says. If we come together, we got to wear a mask. Are we wearing the right mask? Only unless we wear an N95 is that going to be good. Oh, I got to wear a shield with my mask. Some people didn't want to wear a mask. They wore a bandana, right? It was a horrible time. And in the midst of it, friends of ours passed away. Some of us got COVID after getting the vaccine. Then we worried about the vaccine. And all through that, here's the question. Are you trusting God? Is He the one that's providing the protection that you need? He will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings, you will find refuge. That's only available to you and to me if I trust Him, if I'm willing to draw near to Him. And that's why it's so sad that so many believers believe in Jesus Christ, but we're still trying to figure it out. And here's what He's saying. There's room under my wings. Come. And if you were to receive what He has for you, right, it says His faithfulness, not yours, God's faithfulness is like a shield. Right? That's a full shield, full body shield, that when the arrows and the spears come at you, they'll be able to be deflected. There's the buckler, it's a small shield, a round shield that would go on your wrist. And when you would get attacked by close combat, He's going to protect you. Not you, not me, but He, His faithfulness. The only thing we need to do is to be willing to abide in Him, with Him. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. You will not fear when you see the destruction around you. You would be grounded in your faith. You will not be shaken. It's amazing that when nighttime comes is when we are most apt to be full of fear, right? Because we can't see what's out there. But here's what God says. Even though you cannot see, I got it. I got it for you. As a matter of fact, when you rest in this refuge, in this fortress, you can have a good night's sleep. Because I'm going to keep watch over you. You don't have to stay up all night worrying, oh, what did I hear? He will protect you. He will protect you better than you can protect yourself. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. All of the worries, all of the concerns that we would have, here's what He says, I got it. You don't have to worry about it. And you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. He will take care of your problem. He will take care of those individuals that are trying to trip you up. You don't have to worry about it. This is a psalm of protection, of covering. But here's, sometimes you and I will get hurt. And we would look at this psalm and say, Lord, it's like, did you not say you were going to protect me? And that's where we need to have our right thinking in reference to really what this psalm is saying, right? And it's, even though you might get hurt, you are not going to lose your faith. Even though you might even lose your life, I promise you eternity. And at the end of the day, you're going to be okay. You know, sometimes we struggle with that because we don't want to go through pain and suffering. And here's the thing. This life that you and I live in, if we're living in it, you and I eventually are going to experience pain and suffering. We're not going to bypass it. However, he says, I will get you through it. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague to come near your tent. That's only if he and he alone is my Lord, is my dwelling place. If I try to do it on my own strength, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to eventually get hurt on my own choices. And the only choice I have is Jesus. He's my choice. He's my dwelling place. He's the one that gets me through the struggles. When we think of the fiery arrows, sometimes it is the words that people use against us. They cut deep. Especially people that we believe are our support and family, and all of a sudden they say something, and it's like, what did you just say to me? You find that they're talking behind your back, and these people that are supposed to be your friends are not your friends. And all of a sudden, you find yourself cut and wounded by their words. And God says, I will get you through that because you have made me your dwelling place. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. You know what I found to my surprise and amazement? Right, that sometimes we believers get a little bit anxious. And we're looking for answers and we pray. And we pray. And it seems that the answer that we're looking for doesn't come, right? And all of a sudden, right, it hasn't happened in a while, but a few years ago, here's what I heard from some within the congregation. Pastor, I just found a set of angel cards, and these angel cards contain information for me and maybe for some in the congregation where it can disclose, right, what God has for you and for me, right? And as I'm hearing this, I'm saying, is this Christian? Because it sounds like tarot cards. It sounds like something that God would not condone, right? And here's what Scripture says, right? For he, that's God, right, will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, right? So God, not needing any assistance, he will direct the angels to do what they need to do in your life and in my life. Have you ever been driving and you missed almost an accident? And you say, boy, God was with me, right? Or you finally go to the doctors because he said, I need to talk to you. I got your results. And as you sit down, you take a deep breath and he says, you're perfectly fine. I'll see you next year, right? And you feel as if you had an angelic being with you, right? And according to Scripture, right, God is the one that takes care of them for you. If you read Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, here's what it says in summary. We should not be looking for sorcerers. We should not be looking for those who do divination. We should not be pursuing those things that are not of God. Don't do it. Don't get your palms red. Don't receive it as a gift. Don't think that you have to be nice if somebody says, I gave you a gift, you're going to get a massage, you're going to get this, and at the end, they're going to read your palms. Say no. Just say no. Right? Because you open yourself up to demonic things. But if you read this, these verses also sound very familiar. Right, because these would be the verses that Satan would use with Jesus at the time when he was being tempted. Right, and to your surprise and my surprise, Satan knows Scripture. Right, here's what it says in Matthew 5, also in Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7, and Luke 4 verses 9 through 12. Then the devil took him, Jesus, to the holy city and sat him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Right, and Jesus would hear those words, right, and here's the thing, right, the devil, who's a lesser being, would be presenting to Jesus, hey, throw yourself, because Scripture says that God will command his angels, right, but that would be putting God to the test. Right, and that's what Jesus responds according to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Jesus says to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. See, because Satan does something very crafty. He chooses to admit in all your ways. Right, and all of a sudden, you have to ask yourself, who establishes all your ways? And it's the very one, right, who commands the angels, God. Right? So God already conveyed what he needed Jesus to do. For some of us, God has already conveyed what you and I need to do. So sometimes we need to listen with our ears and our heart and not obey what the world is telling us to do. In all your ways, we are not to put God to the test. If you feel that God is telling you jump off a bridge, here's what I believe is going to happen to you. You're going to die. Right? You might go to heaven, but you're going to die. Right? And you're going to cut your life a little short. Trust in God, not on anything else. And here's the amazing part about that story with Jesus, right? If you know the story, you know that at the end of the temptations, who took care of Jesus? It was the angels, right? They took care of him, right? Because God already had prepared that for Jesus. And now we come to the end. Remember, the first two verses is the psalmist. Verses 3 through 13 is how does this apply to me? And now we hear from God. Right? And God says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Do you know the name of Jesus in your heart? Do you know him? Do you spend time with him? Do you linger? Do you loiter with him? Is he your shade? Is he your refuge? Is he your fortress? Is he your God? Because if he is, then God promises certain things to you and to me, right? I will deliver him. He will deliver you. He will deliver me. He will do what we need him to do. Even when you don't know what you need God to do, he's going to do it. Right? And here's what he says. Deliverance and protection for the one who loves his name. It's yours. Like a lot of times we're trying to figure out, how can I receive God's promises, right? Be with him, right? It's some of us go our entire day without even thinking of God. And then we wonder, where are you? Well, you haven't looked for him. Some of us start our day without even opening God's word. And then we wonder why our day is so crazy. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Can you imagine? If I see God, all of this is available to me. If you see God, this is available to you. Right? If you call upon him, you can know that he's going to answer. That he's going to be with you in time of trouble. How many of you this past week were in trouble? You don't have to raise your hand, right? Right? But if you would have called to him, he would have been there. Because here's the thing. If you believe in him, he's already there. He will rescue you. He will honor you, right? And here's the promise. God hears you when you pray. He says, when you call to me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and honor you. You're not alone. God is with you. He will help you. Right? You're not alone. And then lastly, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right? He will give you a long, good life. Even during the season of COVID. Even during the season of trouble. Even during the season of upheaval and the unknowing of what our nation's going to go through, he's going to be with you. A full life, eternal salvation awaits the one who desires the Lord's delight. He's with you. And as I said earlier, right, that doesn't mean that we're not going to confront troubles in our lives. And there are many verses in Scripture to encourage us, right? To persevere, to press forward. But here's the one that God led me to, and it's the Apostle Paul from Romans 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord, right? If we live out our faith, amen. If living out our faith causes us to lose our life, amen. Either way, we're with God. We need to not let fear hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. To draw near to Him, where His shadow would be cast upon you, where He would be your fortress, where He would be your refuge, where He would be your God, the very one you put your trust in. And to that, we should say amen. Right? So as we come to a close, right, here's some points of application. We need to trust in God's protection in the midst of fear. A lot of times when fear confronts us, we run in every possible direction, and we find ourselves just running away from God. But when you feel that fear creeping in, that is your signal to draw near to God, because you're not close to Him. Otherwise, the fear wouldn't be as powerful in your heart. Third, cultivate a life of closeness with God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time praying. Spend time with other believers. We can only serve God out of the overflowing of what He is pouring into us. So if you're not spending time with God, you are going to find it very hard in this life. And then lastly, we need to encourage each other with God's faithfulness. We need to be the church. We need not to let the world out there impact how we live in here. As we get encouraged by what God's Word says to us, we are sent out into the world for Him. To encourage others, to invite others to the experience, the relationship that you are experiencing. You can't say there's not enough room, right? Because we got plenty of empty chairs up here, right? I'll say this, right? It's our biggest problem should be one day you coming to church and saying, oh, somebody's sitting in my seat. That should be your biggest problem, right? We're all of a sudden, you're driving and you're thinking, I wonder if there's going to be a parking spot for me, right? That would be the best problem you and I in the church can have, right? That every seat would be filled. That all of a sudden, the session of Goodwill Church would be talking about, I think we need to add another service because, you know what, we're busting at the seams. Is God your shelter? Is God your refuge? Is God your fortress? Are you abiding in God? Are you trusting the God of the Bible? Because He's waiting for you with open arms to experience all that He has for you. And as I said, for us to draw near to Him, it means that I need to also deal with some of my sin that's in my life. Maybe the very things that are holding me back. In order to live the full life that He has for me and for you. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for Psalm 91 that conveys your protection, that conveys what you provide as we trust in you. And Lord, as we come to a close and sing this final worship song, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that nothing would shatter our faith in you. Lord, may we hold on to you. When we feel the arrows flying by night, when the pestilence is at our door, let us remember these words that it will not come near us because you are our God. Lord, we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.